So, because the baby is inside the placenta, isn't it?
No.
Right, am I wrong?
Yes.
I thought it grew inside the placenta.
No, it grows inside a bag. Like
amniotic sac.
Yeah.
Oh, because my thought then was, wow, it's come out of the placenta and it's turned inside out like a, you know, like when you took off a sock. You know, you take off your socks and it turns inside out. And if there's a bit of fluff attached to your foot, the sock, that's like your umbilical cord. And then the foot is the baby.
Right. That is not how it works.
What an idiot.
Welcome to Daddy Shack. My name's Paul.
My name's Ben.
And this is episode 3.
Afterbirth.
Afterbirth. Mm. Which is not, strictly speaking, about afterbirth.
No. So last week we talked about the birth itself. Yeah. But we stopped just before what I would term as the immediate aftermath.
Yeah. So before the afterbirth came out. Yeah.
I never saw any of that.
You are lucky.
Yeah, I don't need to see that.
No. No one needs to see it.
But there were quite a few gizzards. But that's what this week is all about. Mm. And I feel that this could get a little bit heavy in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think we could end up with an emotional episode. I was thinking about this because it's like...
Are you going to cry?
I might cry.
Oh, God. I don't think I can handle that.
I'm stony cold. I'm not a booer.
Really?
No.
When was the last time you cried?
I've been Forrest Gump.
Right.
So how's been your week?
Stressful.
Yeah?
Yeah.
This is week two of... is it week two or week three?
He will be three... Oh, today he's 3 weeks old.
3 weeks old.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Sid, of course, we're talking about.
Yeah, Sid. This is number two child.
Yeah.
And it's been tough since last we spoke, which was 2 weeks ago. I can't remember when we found this out, but he has a tongue tie. Did I tell you this?
Oh, I remember you telling me, yeah.
Right. So that affects feeding, breastfeeding.
Yeah.
So it's harder for him to latch on to the breast... And it's hard work for him to feed.
Yeah.
So we're having that sorted this coming Tuesday.
I like the fact that you make it sound like you're like it's some kind of home improvement. Yeah, we've got this leak in the kitchen and we're having that sorted. And then we've got somebody coming around sort out Sid's tongue tie. So, you know, that'll be fixed.
Weirdly,
then...
we have a lot of that stuff happening this week as well. So maybe that's the frame of mind I'm in.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's getting fixed on Tuesday. So
that's good.
Hopefully after that, what it is so under the tongue.
Yeah.
Like I've got it. I don't know if you've got it. No. Can you see this?
Yeah. That. It's the little.
Yeah. Do you have that?
Uh-huh.
You haven't really got one.
No,
you?
Mine's it's sort of much shorter. But then if yours is, it stops your tongue from being able to I don't know
fall
stick
out. How far can you stick your tongue out? See, that's quite far. But mine, this is mine. Okay, I know that you can't see this, but that's it. So all this time, I thought that I just had a small tongue.
Right.
Like people, it hasn't come up a lot.
You got tongue envy?
Yeah, maybe I do. Because people, like, it doesn't come up a lot, but people might say, stick your tongue out. Like, it might be some prank or something. Oh, stick your tongue out. And I go, and they go, no, properly.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That is it.
That's
and they go, wow, your tongue is small. Well, you can't stick that out far at all. Yeah, I know. Isn't that normal? So it's only since Sid has been diagnosed with this tongue tie.
You don't... have to say you don't have... You know, it's difficult for you to tell as a grown man, because what with not breastfeeding and all that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, exactly. But my mum said that I was a tricky breastfeeder.
Right.
And And Johnny was, yeah. But it never, it just never
just
got
never occurred to you.
Yeah, we just thought that's how it was. We just thought, oh, it's really bad and hard work, and it, well, it is anyway, but harder than it should have been.
Mm. So is Sonia being milked like a cow at the moment?
Or? Yeah, she's been expressing.
Yeah,
and then we got from the doctor, we got an electric pump.
Oh,
have you
yeah.
got an electric pump?
We had one, yeah.
Right, and it's so much better.
Oh yeah,
we had no idea that it would be. Like, it's got like twice as much.
I know, it's amazing. Yeah. But it's got, it's a strange sound. The one that we had this kind of
like a really old dot matrix printer or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you watched, is it see-through, your suction cup?
Yeah.
It looks painful, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, kudos to the ladies, because that is that's like, wow, I didn't realise it would go so long.
Yeah.
So it's Jade had that as well, because of course with Rue being 4 weeks early, he wasn't strong enough to latch on properly. So he ended up being he was bottle fed, but breast milk.
Right. Yeah.
For a really long time.
Yeah.
We ended up topping his breast milk up with formula to sort of chunk him up a bit.
Mm.
And
yeah,
that worked. That was good.
Yeah.
So.
Well, part of the problem at the moment is he's not putting his weight back on as well, because it's taken so much out of him to do the
and
breastfeeding.
Does he fall asleep sort of halfway through? And then you think, oh, he's had enough, but he hasn't. He's just so tired.
Yes.
And that's exactly the same as with Rue.
Yeah. So it means sort of a lot of broken sleep, which you expect this anyway, but more so than what is normal. He hasn't been the past few days have been better because we've got the electric pump and he's sleeping better.
Mm.
But I've moved into the spare room.
Have you?
Because I had to work the other day, and I got about, I don't know, four hours sleep.
Yeah.
Because Johnny he's not sleeping like he used to, and I'm in the same bed. Sonia's trying to feed him in the night, and I have to get up for Johnny. And then I had to go to work, and it was just not a good idea. Especially because I drive for a living. I deliver shopping. I'm not sure if we've ever sort of said what I do. But I deliver people shopping, so I don't want to crash and die.
No.
Ideally. So it's been rough with Johnny not sleeping well, Sonia not sleeping well, and Sid not... None of us sleeping
Nobody
well.
Nobody's sleeping
so
well.
So everyone is a bit... there's a heightened tension just all around all the time.
Yeah.
And I've been a lot more just angry. Like with Johnny, because it's tough for him.
Yeah.
But he's not helping out. Why should he? Why would he? I mean, he's only 2.5 or a bit more, you know. So I've been getting really angry with him and then feeling bad about it.
Yeah.
Just, oh, God. So it's just been a bit... A bit miserable, really.
A bit miserable. Well, I suppose we've had a similar sort of time, because like Rue is still teething, and like he's only just got like his first few teeth, and it's exactly as we predicted, nothing for ages, and then all of them coming through at once.
Right.
So his sleep's gone backwards as well.
Right.
So
yeah.
We've been up in the night exhausted, and then with all of this stuff going, because last week our housemate Dan flew the nest, bless him.
he
moved out, and we have pretty much immediately started decorating, because we want Dan's room is going to become Rupert's room, and we'll just get it nice and ready for him to go in there, because it really is overdue, him having his own room.
Right. Yeah.
At a year and 3 months.
We did it maybe a little bit after that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So around the same
time. I think it would have helped, because I just find we wake him up.
That was a problem we found.
Constantly.
When we put him in his own room, after getting used to it, after like a couple of weeks, you know, he slept through.
Yeah.
You know, before he was waking up quite a lot, and it was us waking him up.
It makes a big difference. So I can't wait to get him in. But then there's been that, and sort of the pressure of getting it decorated quickly. Because if I didn't finish it this weekend, I wasn't going to have any time. Like the next couple of weekends are pretty much full.
Yeah.
And so that, coupled with no sleep, coupled with working, coupled with doing all the other extra bits and pieces and making sure the house doesn't just fall apart around us,
yeah,
is exhausting.
Yeah. It's
but it's been good. It's been nice. Daddy Shark.
Drunk Dad. We're in the hospital for a few days. And whatever, I think, God knows, 10:39, we got in a taxi, we sort of, immediately we got in, it was f***ing mental, it was carnage. And the baby was there. I don't know, it was the same day as some war thing. But anyway, on the TV, it was just like letters. Well, people on the front row to their wives going about how they're gonna die. I'm listening to some man saying, I love you, but see you later, I'm a dead man. And that was like, that wasn't what I needed to hear right now. So then we changed the channel, and it was f***ing, I don't know, EastEnders or some bullshit like that, and there was someone else who was getting f***ing stabbed in the eyes. And that was f***ing, well, that wasn't f***ing good, was it? F***ing stabs. Stabby look, stab, stabs them. F***ing hell. Can't think of anything else that really happened. Yeah.
Afterbirth. After the birth.
Absolutely. Yeah, terrifying time.
Yes, but also relief.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Johnny, the first one. It was the water birth.
Of course.
He plopped into the water.
Did he? Did he have a swim?
No, the midwife was there and she said, oh, pick him up. So I picked him up out of the water, gave him to Sonia.
Did you just stand there and like just look at him like, what do I do now?
I did a bit of a Lion King.
It's a circle of life.
Dragging Sonia with the umbilical cord. I didn't do that. I just handed him to Sonia, and she was just sort of staring at him and then at me like, what?
Yeah.
What? And he wasn't crying.
Right.
They say with water bursts, it's a bit calm, more calm.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't cry for a few days, I don't think.
Really?
Like, usually that's a bad sign. It can be a bad sign. It means, well, they're not breathing, yeah, or something. But
yeah,
he was very calm when he came out.
Oh, that's good of him.
Which was nice, yeah. Very, very gentle.
Mm.
And then she was just holding him. And then they start all the clean-up. Because our ones are going to be totally different, aren't they?
Oh, very definitely.
Our experience is yours with a cesarean and
yep,
mine with a vaginal. Well, I say mine. So she went over to the bed and just sort of held him for a bit. And it was all, the first few minutes were all kind of a bit spacey. A bit,
yeah,
kind of weird.
Well, I think, yeah, it was very similar in that sense for us. With a bit more panic. And,
well, of course, yes.
And mess.
Yeah, because also being 4 weeks early is also a worry. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So for us, the weirdest thing was they sort of took him out and he didn't cry initially. They had to give him a little bit of oxygen just to kind of kickstart him a little bit. But then he did, he cried and that was all good. But then they took him away. And we're like, okay.
Right.
So I saw him for like 5 minutes when he came out. Jade saw him really briefly whilst they were sewing her up. Yeah. And then, yeah, they took him away to sort of clean him up. And I assume they just sort of get him settled and make sure everything is absolutely fine with him being early.
Yeah.
And with him being cesarean. And that's the way he came out, not like his race. He's not from another planet.
Right.
The planet Caesarian. With him being a Caesarian.
In this country as well.
I know. Coming over here.
Bursting out of our wombs.
So he was taken off, and we didn't see him for 4 hours after.
Really? 4 hours?
4 hours is a long time to go when you've had all of that crazy panic and all of the labour and all of the sort of then the sudden shock of having him sort of whipped out the top way. And then they take him away and they go, yeah, you can't see him yet. Like, what? So we went off to... So Jade had to recover, of course. This was after they'd sewn her back up again. She couldn't walk because of the drugs. And we went off to this quiet room. They gave us some tea and toast. That was nice. Mm. Although my toast, I remember being a bit limp.
See, I've had top toast experiences.
Have you?
Yeah. Two different hospitals.
Great
both,
toast.
Both top toast.
Wow. I got limp toast.
Right. Well,
definitely limp
toast.
Well,
that's St. James for you. It St. James Hospital, Leeds. Bad toast.
Bad toast.
Yeah.
So they took him away. Yeah, we were sort of twiddling our thumbs for 2 hours, whilst Jade sort of recovered and came back round. And eventually we're like, can we go see our son now? And thankfully they did come round and said, you know, I could go over and see him. So I got the chance to go and just sort of spend half an hour with him.
Yeah.
And I did, and it was just me and him, and it was ace. Mm. It was really, really good. And yeah, a bit crazy, a bit weird. And, sort of being on my own as well, not having Jade there. Mm. And
was he in a tank? Type?
No, he wasn't tank, actually.
You know what I mean.
He was under a heat lamp, like a carvery. You know, sprouts, mashed potatoes, yeah, and things around. Yeah. And they said, oh, can I pick? I was like, can I pick him up? Like, yeah, you pick him up. And so they're so fragile, tiny, tiny, fragile.
Yeah.
Until you see the midwives like handling them, and you think, oh, okay. And why am I being so gentle with them? Because they like rag them around. They chuck them about. I mean, they do it all the time, and they obviously know that they are less fragile than we think they are. Mm. Side note: don't like go throwing your kid around just because I said that.
Yeah.
I don't. You know, that's not what I mean. But I was being over careful and really.
Yeah,
you are.
It's pretty normal, yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, and. Yeah, and then I went back and sort of Jade was like, is he all right? What's the crack? You know, is he okay? Mm. Like, yeah, it's fine. Everything's good. And then they reunited us a little bit later, which was awesome. Yeah. It was really good.
That's it. Do you know, I was listening to the radio the other day. It was Vanessa Feltz on Radio 2 sitting in for Jeremy Vine.
Okay.
And all these phone calls. And it was about when your baby's born, should they take the baby away from the parents? Like, is there any reason to do it? Because... this must have been from a story of some babies getting swapped around.
I'd heard about this, actually. There's been something in the news recently about it.
Right. And there was these people ringing up saying, yeah, I had the wrong baby for the first, like, half a day or a week or whatever.
Yeah,
it happens
crazy.
Maybe more often than... it's still pretty rare, but it does happen.
That's weird. Yeah, I was worried about that. But I think he was in a room on his own, actually, so there was only him in there. Yeah. And he looked the same.
Around the time Johnny was born, there was a programme on the telly about these... it was either Spanish or Italian. I kind of want to get that right, but it was one of them. some nuns from years ago, like a long time ago, about how they would steal babies and sell them to America, tell the parents that the baby had died, and and sell them to America.
These are nuns!
Well... don't get me started on nuns.
Right.
I told you about the jam sandwich, haven't I?
I think so.
Right. Well,
I'm not sure, but this might be for another time.
I was force-fed a jam sandwich by a nun.
Oh, right, yes. Yeah,
and that's just the tip of the iceberg with the nuns. Okay. From force-feeding a child a jam sandwich to selling babies to America, you know, baby steps, but, you know, it happens. That was a long time ago, though.
For us, what it was he wasn't putting the weight on, like I was saying
before.
They tried to feed him through this tube. Like, yeah, we'll stick a nasogastric tube in. That way we can make sure that there's the right amount. If we know how much he's getting, that's fine. But what they were doing was they were basically pumping him full of formula.
Yeah.
And he's only got a tiny little stomach, and he was just throwing it all back up again. So actually having the tube in wasn't helping at all, because he was having less, because he was throwing up. So we said, no, we're going to go to, we'll feed him with the bottle, express the stuff, and he's, sure enough, he started putting weight on. But we were in hospital for like 6 days, I think. Which seemed like forever. I was working still, so I didn't get a chance to take any time off work. He was born on the Thursday.
But you're self-employed, aren't you?
Well, I am, yeah. So he was born on the Thursday. I took Friday off work. And that was it. I was back to work on the Monday. So I was going in, I was working and then going in to see Jade and Rupert, and then spending the rest of the time in, then leaving, coming home, going back to work. And it's so... One thing, if you have to stay in hospital, make sure you take something nice to sit on, because the chairs are fine, but the plastic, in case you eat yourself. And that gets really sweaty.
Yeah.
But second...
Well, that's because you wear chaps.
Well, that's true, yeah.
I should have thought about that.
Leather ones. then, secondly, the room, the ward, is absolutely boiling. And I understand they've got to keep it warm for the kids and stuff, but it is so hot. So I was going in...
That's where the chaps come in handy, I suppose.
Indeed. Yeah. This was in March. So it's not exactly warm outside.
No.
So I was turning up. And so my tip is, take a set of summer clothes with you. If you're going to spend any time in hospital, take a set of chaps. No, so a set of shorts, T-shirt. Expect to get a bit grubby and a bit sort of sweaty and warm, because it is so hot in there. Daddy Shark.
Confessions of a Celebrity Dad. This week... David Attenborough.
I've spent quite a lot of time in Southeast Asia. I love Southeast Asia. People pee on their hands, plonking their urine all over the place. all the time. But my son spent 4 years travelling. Well, full of diarrhoea, poor chap. Sheer abundance of it, superabundance of it. It seemed to go on forever, and it was, I mean, like a great sort of articulated banana. But as that happened, you knew perfectly well that you can't just abandon children. But, well, I abandoned my son in a polar bear den in the middle of winter, which nobody in the world has ever seen. I mean, you might think it was silly, but that was the only thing a red-blooded Englishman really should do. And I remember it with great affection and pleasure.
When in the hospital, this time with Sid, they try and help you with latching on. If they say, are you going to breastfeed? And if you say yes, okay. Well, if it's weird the way they say it. With Johnny, we said yeah, and they said, right, you've said that now, ha-ha. Because you've said that, you can't leave until you've done it properly. Until we see, like, well, fine. Not that we can sneak off or anything. But then that was another thing that took ages, so another reason we couldn't go.
Yeah.
Just waiting to latch on. They said, are you going to breastfeed? I said, yes. Okay, so they sort of give you a hand.
Did you not learn from the last time and go, we might do?
None of your business.
Yeah.
We were like, right, okay, so let's try it. And it seemed to be going all right, but it wasn't going brilliantly. And they said, okay, let's have a look at his mouth. And they said, oh, right, he's got a bit of a tongue tie. I'm like, oh, right, okay. They said, so what you can do is tomorrow, when you get home, go to this breastfeeding cafe, which just a place.
A boob cafe?
Basically, yeah.
Sounds fantastic.
It was... It's weird, actually. It was in this dance, this sort of kids' dance place.
Oh, a strip club.
No, for kids. Yeah, it was a kids' strip club.
Yeah.
It's wildly unpopular with the, with the locals. But there you go. And so it was there. And, yeah, so you say, go to this breastfeeding cafe and they give you advice, and if you're having trouble breastfeeding with a tongue tie, they can refer you to get a doctor's appointment to get it snipped.
That's good.
Which we thought, well, that's good. We'll see how it goes. But what they should do is go, oh, he's got a tongue tie. Let's do that now.
Yeah.
Because it's quite a simple operation.
They just literally snip it, don't they?
Yeah. And the tongue tie makes it harder to breastfeed. And people feed their babies in different ways. You're breastfeeding, bottle feeding, formula, and all sorts of different ways. But the sort of most recommended way is the breastfeeding. And the NHS encourage it.
Yeah.
So they're trying to get more people to breastfeed because it's, if you can do it, you should do it. But a lot of people give up because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. Having a tongue tie makes it harder.
Mm.
So if the NHS want to encourage people to breastfeed,
yeah, they should
then
be.
They should be more active on getting these tongue ties sorted. Because if this was, I think Sid's tongue tie is worse than Johnny's was. Because he definitely has one.
Right.
We could have easily given up because he's not putting his weight on properly. And it's hard work. So you can understand why people give up. Because it's really hard to do.
I think it's also, but there's a lot of negativity put on people giving up and stuff like that. But it is really hard. So you understand. Yeah.
We can't really appreciate it being men,
no.
But and can't really say, oh, you really should breastfeed, because we don't know how hard it is.
No.
But it would be better if the NHS or the doctors were able to sort out a tongue tie quicker.
Yeah.
Because it would be easier for people to
It's quite a good sort of first port of call, isn't it, really? It's
you're already in the hospital.
Yeah.
We were in there for 5 days with Johnny. You know, staying in for a bit longer, if they said, he's got this tongue tie, it's going to be a lot harder to breastfeed.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to do, breastfeed, then it's going to be really hard.
Yeah.
We can sort this out, but you're going to have to go somewhere else to make an appointment at this hospital to do this sort of small operation, which is just, I think they just get local anaesthetic and then...
Yeah. You're going to have yours done?
Well, another thing about it, as soon as we found this out, Sonia was reading up about tongue ties, and it all made sense with Johnny, why it took so long. His breastfeeding took ages, took hours. You know, it's meant to take maybe half an hour tops of feeding, and then they go to sleep. It took like 3 hours. She'd spend all day sort of sitting and feeding and try and put them down and go,
yeah.
And then, okay. So when she was looking up about this, it said that a consequence of having a tongue tie can be being a picky eater.
Which
Johnny arguably is.
Yeah.
You know, it can be all sorts of factors, like whether they're ill or teething. Lots of things, a cold, diarrhea. Lots of things can make them sort of not want to eat different foods. But it makes sense for me, because as you know, I'm a very picky eater.
Yes.
And what the idea is that when you're young and you've got this tongue tie, eating certain foods is not as easy as eating other foods. It puts you off. And it becomes a bit of a psychological barrier.
Right.
So it's nice that I finally have some kind of excuse that isn't
That's true.
I'm fussy.
Because I can't imagine that having yours snipped now would suddenly make you want to eat.
Neither can I. But I'm wondering if...
You just want to keep it there. If you're given the option, now you've got an excuse.
Yeah, it's like, here's some tuna pasta. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got a tongue tie and I can't eat that. That's quite good.
You want to keep that.
Yeah.
Well, you could have it snipped and then you could say, well, I used to have a tongue tie. And it's only until very recently that I now... It's like having a gluten intolerance, isn't it? You know,
I would be more...
It's great for excuses.
Like, being a vegetarian has become a lot more of a thing that people accept and respect than it was in the past.
Yeah.
Like, people go, oh, okay, well, I'll do something else for you. Whereas maybe even just 20 years ago, people go, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, oh, why'd you have to... You know, people are a lot more sort of annoyed about it. And it'd be nice that... If it was the same with tongue ties, people go,
"You
poor thing."
Yeah.
Let me go get you some pizza. Thank you.
Yeah. If people, would you like me to cook you something else then? Yeah. I'm afraid I can't eat that. I've got a tongue tie.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if us picky eaters could be as respected as vegetarians, because they're basically just picky eaters.
But effectively, yeah, they've got a better excuse than I. Until this tongue tie. But you've got you just showed me your tongue.
Oh yeah,
you've got no excuse.
I've got no excuse. No, that's true. Actually, I'm just a weird. I have weird things.
Yours are very weird.
They are very weird.
Would you like to mention your pizza one?
The pizza one. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of weird. So I will not eat cold pizza. Must have cooled. I will eat them cold, right? As long as they do not cool down to below room temperature.
Uh-huh.
And they have to have been in my presence at all times. So I have to have known it from the beginning. Right. Struck up a friendship.
Yeah. So you can't have left the room. Which is weird because your baby left the room for 4 hours and you were fine with that.
And I was still cool with that, yeah.
Yeah. But a pizza leaving the room. It's not oh, just, no.
I think the biggest issue is putting it in the fridge. Don't put it in the fridge.
Right.
So I could eat the pizza the next day. I would prefer it warm. So if I got a takeaway, I could eat half a pizza. And then I'd probably, if I was hungry enough, I'd just munch the rest of it the next day. But
as long as it's been in the same room?
Same house. I've extended.
Oh, well, good for you.
Yeah, I've made progress. It also does depend on the toppings as well.
That hypnotherapist has been working then.
Yeah. That's good. Like fish, forget it. Cold fish.
Right.
I'm just no way. Not happening.
Right.
And like meat and stuff, that's fine, but again, don't put it in the fridge because it goes all slimy and cold. Blah. It's got to be warm.
Okay, what about this?
Everybody does this. Everybody always sits there and goes, what about this? Do you remember that conversation we had about baby names?
Yeah.
It's like once people cotton on, they just sit there and go, yeah. What about can
what
you
what
eat
about
this?
Reheated though?
Yeah, reheated's fine.
Okay, what if it's been in a different room?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. If you reheat it, we're on.
What about
it's like rekindling a friendship?
Different house.
Yeah, fine.
Okay, so
fine.
Right, reheating's fine.
Reheating is fine under all circumstances.
Okay, but not fish.
But I can reheat fish.
Oh, okay.
Just don't eat cold fish.
Should you reheat fish?
That's never killed me.
No, I'd never leave my son there like that. It's far too cold for me. But then he is my polar opposite. Good morning, it's 8:05 and this is Tony Brennan on The Breakfast Show with you through until 9 o'clock this morning. And our top story today, really interesting this, you might have seen it in the papers. This is after the news that the Finnish cardboard baby boxes are now outselling Moses baskets by 2-1. It's time for our hot potato.
Hot potato.
Should Moses baskets be renamed to something non-religious? Contentious issue. Let's speak to a devout atheist, Gary, who's on the line. Morning, Gary.
Morning. Morning.
And the Right Reverend Alan Hansen, who joins us as well. Morning, Alan.
Good morning.
Good morning. I guess I call you Reverend, do I, Alan?
If you would like. That's fine, yes.
All right. OK, Alan, we'll start with you. Moses was abandoned by his parents and left in a basket to float down a river and got caught up in some reeds and then led an exodus against an empire. What do you think that teaches children when they're laying in one of those baskets? They'll feel abandoned by their parents, won't they?
I think it's important that every child in our Lord Jesus' name should, in fact, not abandon their children, but at least push them down the river to help them go to sleep. Therefore, it should remain in Moses' basket.
Mm-hmm. Gary, let's come to you, because for many people, Moses is famous only for his burning bush. What's your problem with Moses' baskets continuing to be called Moses' baskets? And if not, what would you want them to be called?
Well, Tony, these baskets, they don't even float, you know. I mean, it's a nonsense.
You've tried that, have you, Gary?
Well, I mean, you get a Moses basket, you think, what should I do with this? I'll put my baby in it and put it in the river. And it began to sink.
And how many have you lost many babies as a result?
They weren't mine. It was part of a science experiment. But thank God. there's not only is that a problem, but the name, you know, is outdated. This sort of religious indoctrination beginning from birth is a problem, and you should maybe get rid of that and stick to a nice secular name. Gary, for instance.
A Gary basket.
A Gary basket, nothing wrong with that.
Reverend Hansen, you you must find that hard to argue against, the point Gary is making there. He's an atheist, he is a scientist. Yes, a number of small children have been lost during his experiments, but that is the price of enlightenment, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is, you're right, but I think...
We should talk about the first nappy.
Yes.
The...
we should.
Meconium.
Stuart Meconium.
Was that your job? Was that Jade's job?
I didn't do the very first nappy.
Right.
I had my first nappy.
Well, you were wearing a nappy.
No, would have made things easier. One less thing to think about.
Yeah. Unless you go, Jade, while you're nappies, there, can you
in for a penny? So, she did the first one.
Right.
Because I think at the time, was I there? I think I was there. I'm trying to remember. I was there and back and there and back so much after he was born that, yeah, it's all a bit bonkers. But I was definitely there. There is a photograph of me changing my first nappy.
Right.
And the look of sheer sort of confusion and fear on my face.
Yeah. Like, had you changed a nappy before? You'd done any like cousins or
don't think so. No,
nieces, no. No, I don't.
I tended
think
to
I
stay away from that. I was like, nah.
I think one of my friends said, "Do you want to change?" It was one of their kids. I can't remember who. Said, "Do you want to change this nappy?"
Like, why?
It's a bit weird changing someone else's kid's nappy. It's not.
I'm not really on for it, and I was always because we've got nephews, and I was like.
Yeah, well, they asked me if I wanted to, in preparation for... They said, you're going to have to do this soon. Do you want to practice on ours?
Also, the difference. Like, our nephew, Jamie, at the time, was about 2 years old.
Yeah.
And, like, he was doing real shit.
Yeah.
Like, proper human shit. I deal
not
with a lot...
cesarean shit.
No.
Human shit. Yeah.
I deal with a lot of dog shit, basically. But that's a different thing.
Yeah,
and so when we sort of said, "Well, do you want to change his nappy? Or well, you can change his nappy this time." I'm like, "No way!"
Yeah.
And when Rue was born, newborn baby crap is different.
It's
a different beast, though, isn't it?
That's the well, there's a few stages, isn't there? There's first the meconium, which is
that's
like
the black tar
stuff, which is grim.
Yeah,
and really hard to get off.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And they say you're meant to use the cotton wool and water and stuff. It's like the worst thing you can use.
You need like some sandpaper and a load of sort of solvent to get that stuff off.
Yeah, chisel.
Yeah. No, I had to do one of them. Definitely had to do one of them. And then it just goes a bit yellow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a bit sort of. But it's basically just bum sick, isn't it? It's not a. It's not as offensive. Like, Rue's craps now at a year old are like seriously offensive.
Weirdly, last week we went to see some people and we nearly didn't because Johnny, over 2 days, had really bad shits. And sort of they were all different. It wasn't the same, like, watery kind of thing. They were different.
Every time.
Yeah. And there was just loads of them. And, like, one of them, on the Friday, I think it was, you know, I don't know how many... shitty nappies I've changed in 2.5 years. But this was the first one that... Because you pretty quickly get used to poo.
Yeah.
Like, I know if you've got a dog or whatever, then you see it more often than maybe someone who doesn't. But as soon as you start changing babies' nappies, like, poo becomes not a thing. And sick, it's like, it's nothing. It doesn't matter. But this was the first time in 2.5 years where I've opened a nappy and I've gone, ugh! Like, I've made that noise, go, ugh! And sort of go, oh god, because I pulled it off and it just started dripping out the sides. And I was in the bathroom, which luckily we took the carpet up a little while ago. We need a new floor on there anyway, so it's just like the wooden sort of crappy wooden floor on there. But it started pouring onto the floor, and I'm like, I had nowhere to put it. I don't think I had a bag ready. You know, a lot of the time you have a bag ready. I didn't have a bag ready, and I was just like, and then he's getting his hands in it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, no! And I'm shouting. I go, no! Like, leave your hands there! No! And he's quite confused at why I'm getting so angry. And then the next day, I had the same thing again, but like a different type of poo, but just as, like, harrowing. It was harrowing. really bad.
Yeah. Oh, there was. Whilst we're on the topic of crap, there was a spectacular moment when we'd arrived somewhere. We'd gone to my mum's. That was it. Rue was in the baby seat in the back, and we didn't realise, but he really like filled his load. He dropped a load on the way there. But so much so that it had just leaked everywhere.
Yeah.
And Jade didn't realise when she picked him up.
Oh.
So she picked him up and it was just like all over him, all over her, down her top. And then, of course, when he was... We just had to peel him out and just straight in the bath.
Yeah.
You know, and just hose him down. That was the only way of sorting out that.
Yeah.
That was... Yeah, so newborn... You think, right, if you've just had a baby... Or you're about to have a baby and you're worried about changing the nappy and you think, oh, I don't really want to change the nappy. Wait a year. Because what goes in must come out. As soon as you go, oh, we should try him on some real food. I think he's hungry enough for real food.
Yeah.
No, that at that point, everything changes.
Yeah.
Because it just becomes horrific.
But also, I think it's quite, you know, maybe this is how it was designed, that this first... Meconium poo is so awful,
yeah,
so like wretched and hard to deal with. It kind of the poos after that. Oh, this is no, not
this
a problem.
Is nothing.
It's nothing.
Yeah,
so it's good that you get thrown in the deep end.
It is, yeah, but it gets worse. Did you cry?
No, what at the birth? Well, not afterwards.
when you did the first nappy,
yeah.
That was when I cried. No,
no, I didn't cry. I maybe had an inner cry.
Yeah, I think I was a bit like that, actually.
Yeah.
I wasn't... Everybody expects you to cry. Like, yeah. Did you cry? No. No.
It was all a bit, sort of... A bit like when you find out. It's sort of too mind-blowing.
Yeah.
I found... I didn't really have any kind of emotion, apart from...
It wipes the brain clean, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't at all. It was an emotion, and this is where it gets a bit deep.
Okay.
But it was an emotional change in my brain. Something happened, and I think this is like a sort of hardwired caveman thing.
Yeah.
Because tell me if you had this as well. So I was in the, I had him in my arms that first time.
Yeah.
And. It's a bit sort of cliched to say, sort of, you know, oh, you know, I just had this sort of overwhelming feeling of emotion. And what people don't tell you is not that overwhelming feeling as a man, as a father, that overwhelming feeling of emotion is not like blubbing your eyes out and being like, oh, this is such a wonderful moment and being sort of all kind of hippy dippy about it.
Mm.
For me, it was like a silverback gorilla sort of situation where. I thought, I will fight people to keep this child alive. And I was like,
yeah.
I will, you know, it was like a real kind of caveman instinct that I suddenly became this grunting, protective father. I thought, if anybody does anything, when you're older, if anybody bullies you, I will annihilate them.
Yeah.
I won't, I'll just cry a bit, but, you know. But, do you know what I mean? There's a real kind of instinct that I felt. And it was a kind of primal thing.
Yeah, well, I sort of, in a...
And we're not, we're not like that as blokes, are we, really?
No, we're not.
We're not sort of alpha males.
No, we are not alpha males. What's below beta? Somewhere like, further down.
Gamma.
Gamma.
Gamma males.
Gamma males.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I felt more... I was worried the whole way through... Like I think I said before, worried about everybody the whole way through. And then you think, as soon as they're born, I can stop worrying a bit. But when they was born, I was like, oh, my God, I have to make sure that you stay alive.
Yeah.
And I have to just become a bit more of a man.
Yeah.
You know, which is indefinable, really. But that kind of being a dad defines you in certain parameters. So you go, I've got these responsibilities now.
Yeah.
And I feel them. When Sonia says, when Sid starts crying, she has a letdown in the boobs, which she feels the milk start to come.
Oh, she's wow. Like,
right, so she knows where I've got to feed him.
Yeah.
It was sort of a bit like that. It sort of feel right. I have responsibilities now.
Yeah, I had a similar thing in a sense that, yeah, you there's just something, it's hardwired, and it's like I've said before, where Rue has this cry, and it's not now really a cry, it's just a sort of noise that he makes. But it has the ability to completely and utterly scramble my brain and stop me from being able to perform basic functions.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of that. There is nothing can prepare you. Nothing at all can prepare you. It does change everything. Daddy
Shark. Afterbirth. Congratulations. Your wife has gone and done a baby right out of her Lady Watsit. The surgeons are stitching her up. You've lit your cigar, and so fatherhood begins. But hold your horses. You can't take him shooting just yet. You must stay in the hospital for a short while and first undergo a series of parenthood tests. These tests are to make sure you're capable of looking after your newborn in case the nanny dies in a horrible freak milking accident. These can be tricky, but must be approached with caution. Test number one will assess how you hold your baby. No, not by the head, silly. Take the child's hand and shake it gently, as if greeting an old friend. This will introduce you and put your baby at ease. Then, begin to cradle your child, making sure to support the head and neck. You should be able to do this while simultaneously holding a brandy and commenting on the state of the economy. Test number two is the dreaded nappy change. The fruit of your loins has just dropped a chunky whoopsie, and it's your job to tackle the fallout. Firstly, be sure to stay calm. Light your pipe to mask the smell. Then, in one confident movement, hand him to the nanny. Don't, under any circumstances, be tempted to change the nappy yourself. It's not big, it's not clever, and men have very definitely lost their lives being this foolhardy. Third and final test is the feeding. For the most part, your lady wife will take care of this. But there will be times when she's too busy crying and screaming, and it's at these times you must take control. Babies are actually born with Michelin star cooking skills, but sadly lack the coordination for a good hollandaise. Take your baby to the kitchen and sit her on the cookbook stand. Stare into her eye to get a connection, and then follow her instructions. Be sure not to burn the olives. If you pass all these tests, you'll be let out of birth jail. You can go home and begin the fun and fanny of fatherhood. Good luck!
You wouldn't have had this option, or I don't know if it's something you heard about before. It's probably because we were reading this hypnobirthing, which is quite sort of hippie kind of...
Yeah.
It's a bit more... But it's...
Hypnobirthing works if you like nice, calm people, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you like... Well... We've got a friend who is... Probably really highly... Well, Faye, we've spoken about it before.
Right.
Really highly strung.
The alcoholic.
Yeah. No. She thinks she's not high maintenance, but she's the worst kind of high maintenance. She's the ones that... Yeah. She's so high maintenance, she thinks she's not high maintenance.
Right.
Which is the worst kind.
That and being drunk all the time.
Yeah, I know. But she wanted to try hypnobirthing.
Right.
But, like, she is the least calm, sort of serene person I know. She's so stressy.
Right.
And I can just imagine her trying it out. I don't think it worked for her.
No.
Funnily enough. I think when, you know, in the heat of the moment,
yeah,
it all went out the window.
Well, in this book, I think it was in this book, it was saying about how, and we looked up some of this stuff, when the baby's born, there's cutting the umbilical cord, which you were saying last time. That was a consideration until
things were taken out of my hands.
Yeah.
and out of Jade's stomach.
Yeah. Graphic. So when they... Here's the baby. Do you want to cut the cord? And I cut the cord.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I think I might have said this. Once you've seen what you've seen...
Yeah, that's...
It's nothing.
Yeah.
The advice is to leave it as long as possible, because the good stuff is still in there.
Oh, okay.
And it's still pumping stuff out.
Huh?
The afterbirth, the umbilical cord is connected to the knee bone.
Yeah, I was just going to do that.
It's connected to the placenta.
Placentae.
So yeah. where the baby comes out, there's a cord hanging out.
Bit of a balloon.
And then
on
a
the
little
end.
While, Sonia, she got more contractions, and that was for not, you know, nothing really as bad as before, but that was to push out the placenta. Your face.
So glad I missed all of this.
So then that comes out, and the first time I saw it sort of slither its way out. And it was, I mean, I didn't see Johnny come out because I was at the other end. Because of the way it works in the pool, where the midwives are at that end, the business end, and I'm at Sonia's head, sort of
the nice
being
bit.
Support.
Yeah, the shouty but nice bit.
Yes. So I didn't actually see either of the babies coming out, but I saw this time the placenta coming out, and it was weird. It was really weird. Like, this shouldn't be happening. Someone call a doctor.
Yeah, is everything all right?
Yeah.
So that woman's insides are falling out.
Yeah. And so that comes out, and I think they weigh it.
Really?
Do they weigh it? I can't remember now. But that comes out, and then this book suggests you wait till the umbilical cord stops pulsating, because its things are still coming out. Some good stuff.
So it's still attached.
Yes.
But not to Sonia.
No.
And it's still pulsating.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So it really is like an alien birth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So then they...
I didn't see any of this because they just whipped him out, clipped it off, and off he shot.
Right.
And I didn't get no...
Well, maybe next time. Although you might do the elective cesarean.
Well, this is it. I may live my life never having to do this.
Yeah.
Which is
isn't it lucky you've got me to talk to about?
Yeah, isn't it?
To describe it in great detail. The placenta comes out, and then they say, do you want to cut the cord? So they clip it either end.
Like, how would you like it cooking?
Yeah. And then they say, do you want to keep it?
Do they?
Yeah.
They actually ask.
They say, do you want to keep it? And you say, God, no.
Hell no.
Although we on the first one, we were thinking about...
Weirder.
We thought, what could we do with it? And it
what
was only,
could we do with it?
Yeah.
Like it was like you'd seen it in somebody's skip as you were walking past. Go, ooh, that'd be all right.
That'd be nice next to the telly.
Yeah. What could we do with it? Pickle it.
We read a thing saying you can bury it under a tree and then the tree will grow... it's a baby tree. No, it's got bits of your bits in the tree.
Lovely.
Isn't that... because it's a bit like a brother or a sister, isn't it?
No, it is not. That is exactly. Very, very strange.
And the tree has a face.
Like off of Pocahontas. So, gadgets.
For the love of Gadge.
For the love of Gadge.
Have you heard of the Finnish baby box?
I have. In fact, I've just seen one in your house.
Yeah. It's not, strictly speaking, a gadget, but in Finland, all babies that are born, you get given this.
Yeah.
Just straight away, you get given a cardboard box, which has a few essentials. It's got a mattress in it. It's got a blanket. It's got a few other bits.
That's really good.
And everyone gets given it, and the baby sleeps in the cardboard box. Yeah. And they have the lowest rate of cot death on the planet.
That's ace.
Yeah. However, so we got one.
Yeah.
He doesn't like sleeping in it. So that's sort of one flaw.
Yeah.
So far.
It's so picky already. Rue just used to sleep in anything we put him in.
Well, Johnny was the same. We got this what's it called? A bed nest. So I think you might have something similar.
Yeah.
It's a quite a small kind of cot that sort of attaches to the side of the bed.
Yeah.
So it becomes like an extension of your bed.
Yeah, that's
And it's got a thing that pulls up so it's separate. You put them in that. It's a lot easier to get them in and out. And we got that for Johnny. It costs quite a lot of money.
Yeah, they're not cheap, are they?
It's the most expensive thing we bought. And he wouldn't sleep in it. So we ended up getting a Moses basket, which a friend lent to us. You know, we got that for free. He loves sleeping in that.
Yeah.
So we just put the Moses basket in the bed nest.
Yeah.
Next to the bed.
Yeah.
And it's the same this time. He doesn't like sleeping in the box, but he likes sleeping in the bed nest. I think It's not that he's trying to be awkward, even though it seems that way.
It's like, I'm not sure I like the colour of this.
Yeah. Could you have anything in a blue?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think they don't like being so, you know, with so much space around.
Yeah,
they like being in quite
a small space, don't they?
Yeah. Mm. Did you swaddle?
Yeah, we did. We swaddled and we did all that skin-to-skin stuff as well.
How long did you swaddle for? Was it something you kept going?
Yeah, because it definitely helped him sleep better. Mm. The tighter you wrapped him, the better he slept, basically. He would wriggle himself free because he was a real wriggler.
Right.
But yeah, definitely swaddling him up in a load of blankets and stuff. Yeah. He was much happier like that. And actually, that was a really good way of getting him to sleep, like, because if he was often sort of difficult to get to sleep. From day one, Roo has not liked going to sleep, just at all.
Yeah.
He's not bothered where he eventually falls asleep, but getting him to sleep has been a nightmare from day one.
Right.
And one of the things that did really help, basically, is it's like pinning him down, and he's like it now. If you can't get him to sleep, almost swaddling him again and really kind of like restricting his movement helps him. It comforts him and helps him feel safe and secure, and he goes to sleep.
That's something you're going to have to sort of...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, try and get away from, I suppose.
Yeah, well, this will all become apparent when we put him in his new bed.
Yeah.
In his new room this week, which I'll give you an update on next week.
Yes, because you're going to... How soon do you reckon he'll be ready for him to go in?
Within this week. I want him in it this week.
You want him out?
I need him. I want him out. He needs to go get a job, start paying his way. He's now taking up a room in the house. He really should be starting to pay.
Yeah.
I've had to kick out a lodger to put him in. Paying lodger. And he's now got room for free.
Well, that's true. That's a major dent in the income.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I've got a freeloader living with me. Last week, when we were recording, we had sort of... We don't do it normally. We normally just do sort of you come over to us and Sonia stays at home or, you know, we'll catch up and it's just the two of us. Last week we had the full clan get together. So there was Sonia and Johnny and Sid and Rupert and Jade all together. Mm. Whilst we basically dicked around for a day recording, doing what we do. And it's probably worth us sort of giving them a little shout out, thank you.
Yeah.
There was a moment, wasn't there, that when we record the video for... Confessions of a Celebrity Dad. When we bring in the celebrities.
Like last week it was...
Judy. Yeah, Judy. Richard and Judy.
Yeah, we brought in Richard and Judy.
Yeah, which... It's pretty much ridiculous, us doing our little thing.
Yeah, it is so stupid.
As two fully grown men.
Yeah.
And in the other room, we could hear our three kids... Our three kids together.
It's a lot, isn't it? That sounds like a lot. A few years ago we had none, and now there's three of them.
Now there's three of them.
That's so weird.
So our three kids, like, really kicking off and going nuts outside. And our two lovely ladies both having to deal with this turmoil whilst I was wearing hot pants.
Is this a good angle? Can you see? Shall I cross my legs like this? Yeah, really kind of not important, stupid stuff.
Gyrating on a leather sofa.
Yeah.
For the amusement of others.
Should we leave it there?
I think we should.
Okay. So next week is...
It's all about going home, isn't it?
Going home and the first few weeks. And what that's like. All right, then.
All right. Back to it.
I've got to go to work.
Have you?
Yeah.
I don't. Bastard. It's quite nice. I'm going to enjoy the rest of this day.
Well, f*** you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.